Messiah. Name above all names, the name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. You know, it's wonderful to be able to worship together, and we have a great worship team, don't we? Amen. Every week we pray that our worship team would lead us into the presence of God, not perform, and I think they do that well. You'll notice over the next few, several weeks, the next couple of months, our worship team will be changing slightly. Trevor is going to be taking a couple of months, and they're going to be doing some traveling. They're reconnecting with some of the churches that are partner churches. They're going to be doing some family traveling and working on getting health back to where they'd like to have it be. And so please be praying for Trevor and for the family as they'll be doing a lot of traveling. I don't remember how much it was, but it's a lot. It's a lot of traveling. And so wanted to share that with you so that you can encourage him today. Bless them as they go as well. But we do have a great team that can come in alongside, and for the next 2 months, we will continue to worship and praise, you know, because the reality is it's about Jesus, and that's what we've come here to worship. And so please be in prayer for them in that as well. We're transitioning out of the questions now. We had a couple of months of what's on your mind. Now we're going to go into our immovable God and the names of God. So let me ask you this question as we start. Do you know God? That's a loaded question. Because another question that could be asked is rather not, do you know God, or do you know of God? And what's interesting is in our culture today, I would say there's a lot of people that know of God, but it's difficult to know God, or to know God as much as we think we may know God. One of the things that we find out is that Scripture talks a lot about God. It uses the name of God a lot of times. However, a lot of that is a different name for God. You know, you might look at it something like this. How many of you like oranges? Which one? There's a lot of different oranges, aren't there? I mean, you could say, I really love oranges, but it might be, you know, those little cutie oranges, or it might be blood oranges, or it might be navel oranges. I mean, there's all different kinds. And to just say orange is just such a broad generalization of the fruit. And you might actually dislike a certain orange. And so when someone just walks up and says, would you like an orange? You'd go, oh, no. But it might be a different type of orange. You see, sometimes what we do is we actually see God's name in the same way. God is what we say, right? God. Who is God? How do you know God? And one of the things that you might find out is by knowing God, for example, you know God because others have told you about God, right? How many of you grew up in Sunday school? Like, you know, I was born in the church, basically. I mean, it was like from when I was a little, right out of the hospital, I think I was in church right away. You know, our kids are the same. We grew up in the church. So I had many Sunday school teachers. I've had many sermons that I've heard. I've sat in class, and I've had a lot of people tell me who God is, right? And you have too. Well, another thing is we might know more about God by personal study, by picking this book up and by reading it and looking and seeing who God is. But it, once again, in our culture or in our translation, you're going to read a lot God or Lord or God Almighty. But there's a third way in which we know God, and that is by experiencing God. This is the way that through life we see the ways that God is moving, the things that God has done. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks is we are going to look at this aspect of the names of God. Each week we're going to look at a different name because each name means something. But here's the reality of it. Throughout Scripture, the names that are given to God are given to Him based on experiences. How someone experienced God in the moment. You know, on the screen you see rocks that are piled up, right? One of the things that was very common in the Old Testament was that as a person experienced the presence of God or the movement of God, what they would do is they would build an altar to God and they would oftentimes name that place. Sometimes they would give the name of God in that place as well. And so what we want to do is over the next months, we want to experience the names of God. Not just God, but all of who God is. And this morning, actually, I want to start out by kind of going, launching it with this, why should we care? What does it matter? What does it matter if all we know God as is God, as compared to, say, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, El Roy, whatever it may be? Why do we care about that? I want to launch us off well in that. And I would ask you to turn with me to Psalm 113 as we read this passage from the psalmist. Psalm 113, starting at verse 1. We're just going to read three verses, and I want you to see what it says here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. How many names of God do you know? You know, what's interesting is I think for many of us, we would go, well, I know a few of them. I know a couple of names. You know, I know God. I know Yahweh. I know Jehovah. I know, you know, Jehovah Jireh, because we used to sing that song, Jehovah Jireh. But what about all of His names? Now, the truth is over the next several weeks, we will not be able to answer all of the names because there's a lot of them. We could go on for quite a while. But we're gonna touch on some very important ones that are very applicable to our lives today. But really, the question again is why? Why do I need to know of the names of God? Why should I care about this? Well, one of the things that we find out is that actually we are commanded to honor His name. His name is so important that we are commanded to respect it, to honor it, to lift it up. As a matter of fact, one of the first commandments of the Ten Commandments deals with the name of God. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you see what God says to the children. He says this, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." This was, I mean, all of God's commands were powerful, but this is, look at what He's saying. He goes, "My name is so important that you cannot misuse it." And they sat and they said, "You know what? This means so much to us." They took this very, very seriously. As a matter of fact, one of the things that they did was they found that they wanted to honor and revere God's name so much that they refused to write the name Yahweh, which, as we'll get into, Yahweh is the God creator, all-powerful God. That's the name for that one. But they knew that the name of God was so important to them that they even found that they didn't want to make an honest, simple mistake by misspelling it. So what they did is they dropped the vowels out of it. And then they would write Yahweh in a different way. And in that way, they knew, well, that we're not misusing it. If we make a mistake, we can do that. Then it got to the time where they feared mispronouncing it so much that they stopped using that particular name and they would use another name for God. And that was a name that they used once. The high priest could do it on the Day of Atonement. It was such a powerful, powerful name. God saw this as so serious that in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said this command to the priests, "And now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor my name." God took it so seriously that he was saying, look, if you do not honor my name, if you don't revere my name, if you don't hold it high, then I'm not going to take your blessings. I'm going to send curses. You understand how they would take that. And they took it very seriously. However, I look today and I go, wow, in our culture today, we take the name of God very flippantly, don't we? A lot of times we don't really, even with names, we just kind of, whatever, it's God, you know, kind of thing. You know, I remember when I was younger, there was a phrase that was used about my name. I was born, I was given the name Peter. And I thought it was so cool, you know, because the Rock. I wasn't a very good rock, but, you know, I was like, I wanted to be that name. But then there was a phrase of frustration that people would use. You know what that phrase was? Oh, for Pete's sake. Yeah? You've heard it, right? You probably said it. You know, something goes wrong, you're like, oh, for Pete's sake, I can't believe that happened. You know, the worst is when your mom says it to you. When I get angry, I got to say, oh, for my sake. But I remember as a kid, I'd be like, oh, I hate it when people say that. It just grated at me. And I got over it, so if you say it, it's okay. But it caused me to come to a place where I went, I wonder how God feels when we use his name so flippantly. You know, there's a very popular phrase in our culture of today, made its way into text lingo, OMG. Have you seen that? As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised how many times, even within the church culture, you hear that phrase repeated over and over again. Oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. This is the name of God, the Creator God. And we're throwing it around as if it was a frustration or some kind of declaration. Do we understand that when we know the names of God, what it means is it brings us into this place where the name of God is so holy, the name of God is so pure, the name of God is so powerful that there is no way that I want to use it other than in a completely reverent and honoring way of who he is. I don't even want to think about taking the name of the Creator Almighty and boiling it down to a simple word of frustration. When we know the names of God, we honor the names of God. Not only do we honor the names of God, but when we know the names of God, we praise his name. Knowing the names of God brings praise. This is such a cool thing because when we experience God, we experience the name of God, it will draw us and bring us to this place of worship. And we see this a lot in Scripture. As a matter of fact, in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, we see one of these times. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. I love that. How majestic is your name. In 2 Samuel 22, verses 47 through 50, he says these words, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From the violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name." Do you understand? Again, what he's saying there it's not just God, it is the God who rescues me. That's the name. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, we read, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to His name. Tell of all of His wonderful acts. There's nothing greater than the name. Why do we praise the name of God? We praise the name of God for what He has done for us. As we watch over the next several months, what we're going to see is people who have had an encounter with God, and rather just saying, oh, wow, that was a cool encounter with God, they're going to say, that was my encounter with God who is this. And what a powerful thought that is, to be able to praise the name of God. In Psalm 30, verse 4, it says, sing the praise of the Lord, you His faithful people. Praise His holy name. You know, once again, there's this natural progression that takes place. We don't worship because we're told to worship. I can tell you, if we're told to worship and praise God, and that's why we praise God, that's going to be pretty shallow praise and pretty shallow worship, right? How many of you like to be told what to do? Okay, so when we look at this, the reality of it is that we experience God, we experience all that He is, it draws us into this place where the only thing that we can do is we can praise Him for who He is and what He has done. Knowing the names of God brings praise. But here's an interesting one. Knowing His name brings protection. Did you know that? The name of God is protection to us. There was a chorus, and I know I'm going to probably date myself a little bit here, but so some of you will get it. Do you remember the chorus, blessed be the name of the Lord? Younger ones are going, huh? Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. You know, you sang that around campfires and everything else like that. What's the next phrase? Remember what the next phrase is? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. You know what? That's actually a direct quote from Scripture. It actually comes from Proverbs 18, verse 10, that says those very words. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That we have protection in the name of God. David, King David, warrior King David, he understood this. In Psalm 20, verse 1, he says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And then in verse 7, a little later on, he goes, here's this. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in... You know, when you think about that, you're going, okay, that's... Let me think about this for a moment. Chariots. If you had a chariot and a horse in battle, you had a huge advantage over the enemy. Especially if they were only foot soldiers, because you were faster, you were stronger, you had the advantage of height, you had all of these things. And so if you had an army of chariots and horses, you were likely going to do better in battle than the others if they didn't have the equal amount. And here's David, the great warrior, great strategist of war. He's sitting there going, I don't trust in those things. I trust in the name of the Lord my God. Because God's name protects us. It's amazing when we think of that. You know, when we think of this reality, my protection in my life is my direct result of my dependence upon the name of God. You know, when I cry out, I don't cry out to some Bible verse. I don't put my trust in a Bible verse. When I cry out, when things are going back, I don't cry out to a religious place. I don't make it about the church. I don't cry out to an image of God. I don't cry out to the cross that's on the wall. I don't cry out to those things. What do? I cry out to God. I cry out to the name of God for His protection over my life, over my family, over those that I love. God's name alone protects. But there's one more important thing that we need to understand and know the names of God. Knowing the names of God is important because we bear the name of God. We bear His name. Wherever we go, we bear the name of our God. Jeremiah in chapter 15, verses 15 and 17, he says these words, "Lord, You understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for Your sake. When Your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear Your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because Your hand was on me, and You filled me with indignation." Now, it kind of sounds like in the beginning that he's complaining. You know, God, all these bad things are happening. But do you notice what he says in there? He goes, but here's the reality. I bear Your name. As Christians, we bear the name. Right there in the name itself, Christian. We are Christ followers. Wherever we go, we bear His name. When I am at home with my family, I bear His name. When I am at work, I bear His name. When I'm out in my hobbies, wherever it may be, in school, in sports, whatever I am doing, I carry the name of God with me wherever I go. I am an image bearer and a name bearer. I love this picture. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Isaiah says, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." I love that. What an image. Husband. Do you get this idea? Over 27 years ago, I asked Lynn if she would marry me. You know what happened on that day when, well, that day when she said yes, I was relieved. But in August, on our anniversary, on our wedding day, she walked into that chapel as Marilyn Bach. She walked out as Marilyn Lilla Stolen. From that moment on, she was the bearer of the name of my family. She would bear my name with her. She became one with me. She reflected our family at that time. Daniel even understood this concept when he prayed in Daniel chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Give ear, our God, and hear. Open our eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears Your name. We do not make requests of You because we are righteous, but because of Your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For Your sake, my God, do not delay, because Your city and Your people bear Your name." No matter what it is, no matter where we are, we bear the name. Folks, do you understand? We don't bear the name of Plymouth Alliance Church. We bear the name of Christ. We bear the name of God. When we go out into our community, people may see the word Plymouth Alliance Church, but what they really see is they see God in us, and we bear His name no matter what we're doing. And I pray that we are bearing a wonderful name of God where we go. You see, to love God is to know God. To know God requires that we experience God. And as we experience God, we begin to honor His name. We begin to praise His name. We begin to live out that name in our lives. And we begin to resemble that name. I'm really excited about the next several weeks. Because I believe that as we unpack these names of God, as we look at who He is, we begin to understand clearer who God is. And it can only do one thing. It can only draw us deeper into His presence, wanting Him more and more and more. Knowing His name is vital to experiencing God in our life. My prayer over the next several weeks is that as we unpack the names of God, we will become more like Him. And we will worship Him more. Let's pray. Father, You are incredible. We can't even begin to comprehend all of who You are. Your name is incredible. It's a strong tower. Your name, above all names, is powerful. Lord, here we are. So simple, but yet blessed by Your name. Lord, would You open our eyes, even this week, to experience Your name, that we might be name bearers for the name of Christ. Lord, we bless You. We worship You. We come before You as Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.